out of Matthew 7. I left off 2 weeks ago. I was gone 2 Sundays. And you remember I dealt with no man can serve 2 masters. And how we got to the end of Matthew 6, you know, and we seen spiritual arithmetic there in verse 33, true spiritual arithmetic. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. That's the first thing. That's the first thing of all the things in this world that we need. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. A lot of people want to be first in so many things. And it's good to be first. Somebody's got to win. Somebody's got to be the first. But all, when it comes to a relationship with God, when it comes to eternity, when it comes to whatever else happens in this world, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, not yours, His. And then there in verse 34 says, take no thought for tomorrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. And remember, that means don't carry tomorrow's burden today. And that's what so many people do. They carry tomorrow's burden today. There'll be enough to deal with today. Enough burdens today. There'll be enough evil today without start carrying the burdens for tomorrow. You wait till you get up in the morning, there'll be some new ones. But with every burden, there's new mercies every morning. That's why it says, take no thought. Don't start concerning yourselves about tomorrow, talking about the spirit, because God knows what you have need of. And now we're going to move on here, and I'm going to deal with these first 5 verses here. Judge not, that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye shall be judged, and with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine own eye, out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then thou shalt see clearly to cast the mote out of thy brother's eye. I hope by the grace of God this evening to use the scripture to hopefully instruct us in righteousness. That's what they're given for, to instruct us in righteousness. I want to speak by God's grace things according to sound doctrine. Now, if there is any particular portion of Scripture other than John 3:16 and Psalm 23, where it says, God so loved the world, that's the most misapplied, misunderstood Scripture. And the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, is the most second, I guess. But here is one of the most misunderstood and misapplied verses of Scripture in all the world that people misapply. Judge not that you be not judged. I could not tell you how many times somebody says, who made you judge? Don't the Bible say something about not judging? How many times have you heard that whenever you start talking to somebody about something? Start talking to somebody about the Scripture. Start talking to somebody about Christ. Start talking about somebody if it's something you believe real strong. And they'll say, oh, buddy, don't the Bible say something about judging not? And the world don't like people like this who do judge. But oh, they don't like somebody who expresses an opinion. The world don't like people that's dogmatic. They don't like people who are strong and assertive in what they believe. They don't like people who believe certain things and really believe them and don't back down from them. They don't like that. They don't like people like that. They don't like people that are principled, that hold doctrine and truth at any cost.
Amen.
And people say, well, we got to keep peace. I said, I'll do anything. And I'll tell you, beloved, I'm like John Bunyan. I'll do anything for peace, but deny the truth. I want to get, you know, I want to follow peace with all men. But I'm not going to do it and compromise the gospel. We can't do that. Now, these type of people who are judges, who judge, that you know, here they say, you know, judge not. And whenever they run across somebody, when we run across people who always hold this, don't the Bible say, don't you judge? Don't you judge now. Don't judge not. Whenever you find somebody who does this, they're called troublemakers. People want somebody to walk down the middle of the road. They like people that's easygoing. Don't judge. Be easy. Be indulgent. Be tolerant. That's the day. That's the cry of the day. Tolerance. 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 They want you to tolerate everything, but they don't want to tolerate you. Tolerate homosexuals, but don't tolerate somebody who says anything against them. Tolerate adultery, but don't tolerate anybody who says anything against them. Tolerate lying and stealing and fraud and lying and blaspheming and lying preachers. Don't say, tolerate them, but don't tolerate them who say anything against it. That's the worst where we're at. Oh, they want people to allow almost anything to go for peace, quiet, and unity. So judge not. But this cannot possibly be what it means according to Scripture. Look at its context. Judge not that you be not judged. Now it says down there in verse 6, give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast your pearl before swine. Now how am I going to tell a person is a dog or a swine without judging, without discrimination? Huh? I've seen some dogs and I'm not going to give anything holy to them. Run into some out in California. Run into some in Oregon. They only use the church whenever they want something, whenever they need something. They want to come around and tell you everything that they know and they believe, but they don't want no pastor, they don't want no church, they don't want no commitment. The dogs, I'm not going to feed them dogs. How are we going to do that without judging discrimination? Then it says down here in verse 15. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they're raven in wolves. How am I going to tell a false prophet? He comes in sheep's clothing. Looks like a sheep. Dresses like a sheep. How am I going to know them? Huh? You'll know them by their fruits. Huh? That's how you'll know them. How are we going to judge if we don't do that? And I must be able to judge between the true and false. Must be. Always must be. We must make some judgments of the world and its affairs. If we don't, how would we be deceived? How would we know how to deal with certain things? How would we know how to deal with the banks? And how would we know how to deal with one another? How would we know how to deal with our own finances? How would we know who to trust in this world? And we must make some judgments in the church. The Scripture said in 1 Peter 4:17, He says, the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. Amen. And you know how God judges in this world? He starts right here. He sets judgment in the hearts of men right here. He passes judgment on men under the sound of the gospel. Either you believe or you don't. As he prayed through this evening, he says, there's no other name given under heaven among men whereby we must be saved. That's a fact. That's asserted. That's true. God made this judgment. You'll believe that or you'll be damned for not believing it. You'll come to Christ or you'll perish. That God's already, he set judgment here in the house of God. That's where it begins. And that's why so many people come and hear it and believe it for a while and go on. But God makes judgments here. He gives life and he gives death through the gospel. And in fact, the Scripture says, set him that's least among us. We have to make a judgment over something that's going on in the church. Said, get the least among you. Set him to be the judge. Don't go get the smartest, the wisest, the strongest, the one who knows the Scripture the most. Take the one that's the simplest, the least among you. Let him be the judge. And then we must make some judgment in doctrine. If we don't judge, how will we know whether we've entered the straight gate or built our house on the sand? Look down here in verse 13. Enter ye in at the straight gate. Wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. Straight is the gate and narrow is the way. How am I going to know? Straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leads unto life. How am I going to know which gate I went in if I don't make some judgments? How am I going to be able to tell what's the straight gate? Huh? but how am I going to tell if my house is built on a rock or built on sand? Look down there in verse 24 is what our Lord said. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine, like him unto a wise man, build his house on a rock. When the floods come, the rains, winds blow in the house, and beat upon that house, it won't fall. Because that's what our Lord said. It's not everyone that saith unto me in verse 21 shall enter into the kingdom of God. Many will say to me in verse 22, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied? Then he said, I'll profess it. You never knew me. I never knew you. So then, whoever hears, deals. How are we going to judge? How are we going to do this? Our Lord said, if a man, he'll know if thy doctrine is mine. Over in John 17, he'll know if the doctrine is true, whether the doctrine is of mine, whether God hears God or not. And oh, this is the way to detect false prophets. Have we got to have through the doctrine they preach before swine because of what they believe and what they preach? That's why Paul said, if a man comes preaching any other gospel, let him be accursed. If an angel comes from heaven preaching, let him be accursed if he ain't preaching the gospel.
Amen.
That's what he said about Hymenaeus. He made a judgment upon Hymenaeus and Philemon. He says, they have overthrown the faith of many, saying the resurrection's past already. Huh? He said, oh, Paul said, Alexander the coppersmith done me much evil. He made judgment on him. He said, after the first and second admonition, the heretic just rejected him outright. I know the fellow that's going to have a heretic preach for him this summer. And I wrote and told him, I said, do you know what this fellow believes that you're having come preach for you? Two other preachers I know said, I'm not going to go preach with a heretic. And the man's a heretic. He's a true, genuine, true heretic. But anyway, I don't understand it. Oh, look what our Lord said over here in John 7:24. That's why, you know, we have to make these judgments. In John 7:24, look what our Master said. Well, I'm in Luke. I'm sorry. I'll get to it here in a minute. I got still using this new Bible. These pages stick together. John 7:24. Look what our Lord said. Judge not according to the appearance, but how are you going to judge? Judge a righteous judgment. Judge a righteous judgment. And if we're going to judge, make sure you do it righteously. Make sure you do it according to Scripture. Make sure you do it according to truth. Make sure you do it according to principle. And that's what he means about if you're going to judge. Huh? And our Lord says, you know, he told the Pharisees, he says, you are those that justify yourselves before men. But God knows your heart. And that that is well pleasing in the sight of men is an abomination in the sight of God. That's what our Master said. He made a judgment on those Pharisees. So what does it mean here? And it says, judge not, back over in our text. What does it mean? Judge not that you be not judged. With what judgment you judge, you should be judged. And with what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you again. What does it mean? It means this. It means condemning, pronouncing judgment in a final sense. Pronouncing judgment in a final sense. Condemning, pronouncing judgment in a final sense. What it means is to make our word and our judgments to be law. That we're the final arbiter in these things. That we're the final one to make the decision on these matters. The Pharisees were guilty of this sin. They said, has any of the rulers ever went after him? As where did this man having learned letters? And they said thereafter, he says, you know, judge not but by outward appearance, but judge a righteous judgment. They said, is not this the man whom they seek to kill? So they had pronounced judgment on him strictly because they made their word to be law. They made their truth to be law. They made their opinions to be law. And that's the danger our Lord's warning us against. It's a kind of a spirit that manifests itself, the spirit of judging, that's the wrong kind of a judgment that our Lord's condemning here, manifests itself in several different ways. First, right, it manifests itself in self-righteousness, censoriousness, a false superiority. When we come to the place we're right and everybody else is wrong. And that's the way a lot of people are. Everybody else, you know, I'm right and everybody else is wrong. And that always leads to despising others. Our Lord says that self-righteous man, he despises others and thinks himself more superior. And that's what he said, I thank you, I'm not like that fella right over there. And then secondly, it's hypercritical. It's not only just self-righteous and sensuousness and false feeling of superiority, but it's hypercritical. Now, true criticism is constructive. I got through preaching Wednesday night, was on the way home, Mary gave me some true criticism. It was constructive. I was doing something that I was totally oblivious that I was doing. Never entered my mind that I was doing. She called my attention to it and said, I didn't know that I was doing that. Didn't have a clue. True criticism is constructive. And faithful are the wounds of a friend. I've had some good criticism in my time, and I've had some bad criticism in my time. I have been constructively helped, and I have been destructively criticized and been cut to the bone. But that's neither here nor there, but that's hypercritical. What this person is, the person who delights in criticism, delights in finding fault. They criticize for its own sake. They enjoy it. They expect to find faults and blemishes, and they hope to. It's the very opposite, you know, when the Scripture says that charity hopeth all things, believeth all things, endureth all things, believeth all things. This hypercritical person, he expects the worst. And there are people who get malicious satisfaction in finding fault with others. Malicious satisfaction in doing it. Well, why do we end up making judgments like this? First of all, because it says here in our text, we have a beam in our eye. Now, I look down in the last part of verse 4. And behold, a beam is your own eye, is in your own eye. He said there in the last part of verse 3, consider not the beam that's in our eye. That's why we judge. We have a beam. A beam. And this beam here is it's like a beam that would hold up the house. That's how big it is. What kind of beam? What's this beam? It's pride. It's just pride. That's the greatest beam we have. Our natural pride, our spiritual pride. Oh, we have a beam. Oh. And when you got a beam in your eye, who in the world can see with a beam in your eye? And oh, pride, natural, and spiritual, a Pharisee. And then there's presumption. Why do we judge like this? We have this beam we pursue. We think we have the ability. We're arrogant enough to think that we have the ability to make judgments that's not true and right just because of our feelings or our opinions or our thoughts. And that's what he says, cast out the beam out of your own eye first. Huh? Another reason why we judge and our Lord is condemning here. And that's what he's condemning. This judge not that you be not judged. He's condemning this in this certain way, and he's showing us what's wrong about it. First of all, we judge because we have pride. We judge because we're presumptuous. We think we have the ability. We're arrogant enough to think we can. And then with some desire the preeminence. Diotrephes love to have the preeminence. Some think that if I can make everybody look at me and consider me and see me and what I think and what I feel and my, that they will, by making themselves putting out somebody else's light and making somebody else look bad, they're going to make their light shine brighter and make themselves look better. You ever been around somebody, a husband and a wife, and the husband or the wife one just constantly belittling the husband or the wife? You ever been around anybody like that? Just constantly saying something negative about them. Constantly. Every time they open their mouth, they say something negative. Every time they do something, something negative. That's awful. That's awful. That's despicable. It's wicked. And that's what our Lord said. What somebody's trying to have the preeminence. over the other. He wants everybody to think that I'm better than this. Where love would say, they got all the goods. I ain't got any. Ain't that right? And then there's self-delusion. Why do we judge? Because we have a beam. It's the beam of pride, the beam of presumption, the beam of preeminence. And then there's the beam of self-delusion. Self-delusion, ignorant of our own faults. Ain't that what our Lord says there in verse 3? And considers not the beam that's in your own eye? Here you are, you're making judgments. And you not considering that you've got a beam in your own eye? Self-delusion, ignorant of your own faults? Huh? I tell you another beam that we have. Another beam that we have that our Lord tells us about is we judge by personality. We don't like a particular person. And we judge by personality rather than with scriptural views. Huh? They say, well, they're not hardly like me. I thank God that they're not like me. I wouldn't want anybody to be like me. Oh my, if you knew me like I know me, you would never have me in your home. You wouldn't have me for dinner. Oh my, we judge by personality rather than by scripture views. By prejudice, not by principle. I don't like a certain person, so you make judgments on them because you don't like their personality. But I like what Scott Richardson said, if you're going to love a man, you're going to have to love him the way he is because he ain't going to change. God made him that way. Once God saves a man with all of his warts and with all of his faults, you got to take him the way he is because you ain't going to change him. And I mean that, you know, there may be things about them that bug the hound out of you, but if you're going to love them, you're going to have to love them the way they are. You're going to have to love them with their sense of humor. You're going to have to love them with the way they think. You're going to have to love them with the way they talk. You're going to have to love them with their view. You're going to have to love them the way they are. If you're going to love them, because you ain't going to change them. And if God's not pleased to change them, you're going to have to take them the way they are. Is that not right?
That's right.
No matter what their personality is. And I... Some of us got some weird personalities. I've met some people. Not anybody in this building. We're talking about the royal meal. They. Oh, and I'll tell you another beam we have in our own eyes. Habitually express our opinions without having the facts. Oh, express our opinions without having the facts of the matter. You know, I get these emails of certain things. And if they sound too good to be true or something, I always go to Snopes and I check them out to see if they're so or not. And if they're not, I email that false one, the true of it, I send it back to them and say, now you're sending this out here and it's not true. So here's the real truth of the matter. And that's what people do. They'll read something and they'll say, boy, that just touches me. That moves me. Everybody needs to see this. But they never take the trouble to understand, to find out whether it's true or not. And people habitually express opinions without facts. They never take the trouble to understand the circumstance. What's the circumstance that caused this thing to happen? What situation were they in that caused them to do that? Never ready to excuse what somebody's done. Never ready to exercise mercy. I read a story the other day, and I assume it's true, but it's a good story. This fella goes to this church, and there's a couple ladies in the church that, I mean, they just made everybody's lives miserable. Judged everybody, criticized everybody. Well, this fella had an old pickup truck. And she seen it at this woman's house one time. Seen it there a couple of times. And she went to tell her around, said, you see old so-and-so's truck over sister so-and-so's house? Wonder what he's doing over there? What do you reckon's going on? Oh, my. You know. They went on. Next thing you know, see, they had suspicion playing in everybody's mind that there's something going on between these two. But what it was he was loaning her that truck. just loaned it to her. He wasn't there at all. So we got around and everybody got to criticize, said that fella and that woman's got an affair going on. So that old woman who was wagging her tongue so much, that fella took that pickup truck of his, parked it in front of her house that night, left it there all night, got out and walked off. Left it sit in front of her house all night. Huh? Expressing opinions without facts. Making judgments without seeing the circumstances. Next time you think of that, somebody will park a pickup truck in front of your house. Next time you do it. Huh? You see, there's a tendency to pronounce final judgment upon people. Not so much by what they do, or believe, or say, but upon the persons themselves. And that's what our Lord's saying about. What our Lord is condemning here is taking to yourself the prerogative that belongs to God only. Making a final judgment. Making the final judgment. Well, look what our Lord says here in verse 1. Let's go through these verses now. I set it up the best I could. He says, judge not that you should, that you be not judged. And what our Lord's saying here, if you make the wrong judgment, you'll be judged. Now watch what he says. People will do us the way that we do them. For with what judgment you judge, you'll be judged. And with what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you again. Whatever kind of judgment you make upon people, and whatever kind of judgment you make in this world upon others, that's what our Lord said will be brought right back to you. We want people to do us the way we do them. Look what it says down in verse 12. Therefore, all things whatsoever you would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets. So treat people like you want to be treated. That's what our Lord's saying here. That if you judge, and you judge falsely, and you judge the final judgment, that's what you're going to be judged the same way you're judged. Well, you got to, he said in another place, with whatever bushel or basket you measure with, said that's the very basket you're going to be measured in. And that's what he's saying here. God's going to be the judge. Make sure your house is built on the rock, because the storm's going to come. The wind's going to blow. The rain's going to descend. The floods is going to rise. So whenever we're going to sit in judgment upon a particular person and make our final judgment about them, mark it down. We're going to be judged by the same judgment we give to others. Now look what our Lord said over here in Romans 14. Romans 14. Talking about judging here. Look in verse 10. Romans 14:10. But why dost thou judge thy brother? And you notice here it's thy brother too. In Matthew 7 is talking about thy brother. Well, why dost thou set it not thy brother? Whenever you pass judgment on him, you set him as naught, like you've got the power, and you set him like he's nobody or nothing, that you're making the judgment, final judgment on him. Now watch this, for we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it's written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee is going to bow, every tongue is going to confess to God. Watch this, so then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Listen, let us not therefore judge one another anymore. But judge this rather. If you're going to make a judgment, don't put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. Don't mistreat him. Don't treat him like he's nobody. Don't treat him like he's just somebody you can just pass judgment on and ignore. Now back over in our text. What our Lord's saying here, with what judgment you judge, you should be judged. And with what measure you meet, it should be measured to you again. In judging others, you're saying, I know what is right. So if you do that, and if you don't do right, what are you doing? You're condemning yourself. You're condemning yourself. By the claims I make, God says I'll be judged by. If I scrutinize other people and their lives by my standard and the standard by which I judge them, then that very standard will come back and judge me. And when it does, I'll have no reason for complaining. Huh? It's like that woman with that pickup truck. She got up the next morning, seen that truck sitting out there. What's she going to complain about? She's doing the same thing. Got a dose of her own medicine. And that's what God does. We want to give everybody medicine, God will give us a little. And then that's what our Lord says. You reap what you sow. With what measure you meet? With what measure of judgment? With what measure of sensuousness? With what measure of self-righteousness? With what measure of presumption? With what measure of arrogance? It shall be measured to you again. Huh? Real, reap what you sow. You'll do it in this life. We judge and censor strictly. God will judge us strictly. And I tell you, beloved, and how He does it, we'll lose our peace, we'll lose our joy, we'll lose our fellowship, and the Holy Spirit will be grieved within us. And then in the life to come, oh my, I don't want to face God as a judge over the affairs and hearts of the people I preach to if the gospel doesn't do it. And that's what I say. We have to make judgments about false prophets. We have to make judgment about doctrine. We have to make judgment about the gospel. We have to make judgment about many, many things in this world. But to do it as making the final judgment on one another, and that's what He says, your brethren, behold the mote that's in your brother's eye. He's talking about us among one another. And that's what He says in verse 3. And why beholdest thou the mote that's in thy brother's eye? And what's what He says? Why beholdest? That means you're looking and looking strongly. We say behold, that means stop, look intently. And you beholdest. Huh? And you know what a mote is? It's so tiny. It's just an irritation in our eye. Huh? I mean, you know, whenever you get something in your eye, you have somebody else, you say, come see what's in my eye. And you hold your eye down there and somebody else tries to find it. But this fellow with his beam in his eye, he can see it. He can find it. Huh? And some only see the mote and see it as a monstrosity out of proportion. That's plainer than that, swallow a camel. That's why the Lord said, and consider not the beam that's in your own eye. And then in verse 4, they act like they really care. They act like they really care for you and what's best for you. Look what they say. Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye. I'll just, you know, I care for you, and this is going to really help you. You know, I'm going to get that mote out of thine eye. Oh, sin has such a blinding influence. It's so deceitful. And that's why the lost criticize the saved so much, because they can't. Natural man can't judge a saved man. They can't discern. The spiritual man, he can't discern the saved people that are saved by the grace of God. He don't have the right judgment. He don't have the right understanding. And then look what our Lord says about him in verse 5. Oh, you hypocrite. You hypocrite. Behold, a beam is in your own eye. Cast out the beam out of your own eye. Then thou shalt see clearly to cast out the mote out of your brother's eye. Behold, a beam's in your own eye. What our Lord said, where's your honesty? Where's your honesty? Where's your integrity? Cast out the beam of your own eye first. Deal with yourself first. Now, how are we going to do this? By faithfully dealing with ourselves. In the scriptures, that you know, when they're talking about they're taking the Lord's table there in 1 Corinthians 11, one of the things is, says, judge yourselves that you be not judged with the world. When he talks about taking the Lord's table. He said, when it comes to examining yourselves and see whether you're in the faith or not, and if you're going to take the Lord's table, you judge yourself whether you know Christ. You judge yourself whether you're worthy of it. You judge yourself if you know what the blood and body of Christ means. You know, you judge yourself. And then you will be condemned and judged with the world when God does it. Pass judgment. Look at yourself. and faithfully dealing with ourselves, not sparing ourselves and judging ourselves before God. Oh, an unqualified judging of myself before God. Look at myself, my ways, my heart, and look at it by God's Word. Search me, O God, know me, try me, see if there be any evil way in me. Turn me, take me by the reins and turn me, Lord, and see which way I'll turn. Oh, and I'll tell you something else. Not ever excuse our fleshly conduct. And if we do, and when we do make a judgment, examine to see if it's truth that we're judging by, if it's righteousness we're judging by, if it's principle that I care about. If we're concerned, and we're concerned about righteousness, true judgment, we'd start, the first place we'd start with is ourselves. First place we'd start with is with ourselves. How many times when you start to say something, you say, well, I'll just leave that go. I know it ain't going to amount to nothing me saying it, because you know what's going to happen if you just open your mouth. And then he says there in verse 5, thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam of thine own eye. And watch what happens when this happens. Then thou shalt see clearly. Then you'll be able to cast out the mote out of your brother's eye. Your brother's got a mote. When you get that beam out, then you see clearly. You can actually do something for somebody then. Clearing our vision gives us not only just the ability for us to see, but the ability to make right judgments. You know, how ridiculous it'd be for the blind to lead the blind. And how much more ridiculous it'd be for a blind man to try to pull something out of another blind man's eye. You know, his fellow's wanting to get the moat out, and he got a beam in his that supports the roof of the house. And a moat's just a tiny straw, just a tiny piece of wood caught in somebody's eye. And getting out a moat, that's a different operation. And the eye, all of us know, is the most tender part. You get something in your eye, it'll just worry you to death. It causes it to water, get irritated. You can't see clearly. And you know, if something gets close to your eye, you automatically blink. Something gets close to your eye, because that's the tenderest part. Tenderest part is your eye. And when a finger touches it, it closes up. And when we're trying to get the mote out of somebody's eye, we see a mote in somebody's eye. When we see it clearly, it requires sympathy, patience, calmness. You don't go sticking your finger in people's eyes. Let me get that out of your eye. Rub a finger across it real quick. No. You take thick sympathy. I'm so sorry you got that in your eye. Let me help get it out. Patience. Calmness. And now you translate this mote, getting the mote out of a person's eye. Translate that to the spiritual. And that's what our Lord's telling us here. You be gentle and tender and sympathetic and patient and calm with one another, because you're dealing with another man's soul. A soul. And that's the tender part of a man. You know, if brother offended, it's hard to be one in a strong city. And what's required to deal with a soul, to handle and deal with somebody else? First of all, a knowledge of self. How would I want somebody to deal with me? Again, verse 12. Therefore, all things whatsoever you would that men should do to you, do ye so even to them. Do to them. That's the law of the prophets. And sympathy. Instead of enjoying the fault of a brother, he read tonight, weep with them that weep, rejoice with them that rejoice. Remembering yourselves and your faults. And think of the cost to yourself and them if you don't treat them right. With what judgment you judge, you're going to be judged. With what measure you meet, it'll be measured to you again. And every time you treat somebody, that's how you're going to be treated. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. Oh, to learn to be. For wisdom, to know how. To faithfully deal with one another. To honestly, generously, kindly, patiently, sympathetically. To the glory of Christ. Our gracious, gracious Father, thank you for this time of being able to preach your word. To deal with the truth as it is in Christ. God bless it to our hearts. Bless it to our understanding. And Lord, we cast ourselves on you. Lord, we're so frail, we're so weak. And you told us as a father pitieth his children, even so, Lord, you pitieth us. Because you know that we're but dust, frail flesh and dust. God, give us the wisdom that comes from above, that's peaceable, gentle, easily entreated, that'll bring glory and honor to your name. And as we take the Lord's table here this evening, I ask that you'd be pleased to bless it as we do it in remembrance of our Lord Jesus Christ. We ask in His name. Amen.